Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the fifth and last perek, the last chapter of the book of Eicha. In this perek it is 22 psukim, yet we lose the aleph beis structure. Each pasuk consisting of two phrases, it is shorter than the previous perekim. What is fascinating about it is that there seems to be the 22 verses or psukim are corresponding to the 22 letters of the aleph beis, yet it doesn't have the aleph beis. And perhaps this is a literary construct which is demonstrating the, so to speak, the devolution, the process of there still is structure, but on the face of it, it doesn't look like there's structure anymore, which is the progression of destruction, which is being highlighted here. Our perek can be divided roughly into three sections. The first 10 psukim describe the subjugation and famine. The next few psukim from Yud Aleph to Yud Ches are the description of the advantage taken of the bodies and souls of the children of Israel. And finally, most famously, from Yud Tes to Chof Beis, the last few psukim are focused upon the prayer for return. Let's take a look at each section individually in terms of a summary and a pasuk in focus. The first 10 psukim are our section 1 about subjugation and famine. It really is a description of what it's like to live under a foreign nation. The descriptions are about the homeland being gone, their houses being resettled by strangers, being orphaned from their families, having to buy basic amenities like wood and water from overlords, being persecuted without accountability in the new culture, being enslaved by slaves, risking life just to provide basic sustenance and daily subsistence. And there is a certain element of bitterness which is also felt by the author, by Yirmiyahu, describing how they inherit the sins of their parents. Avoseinu chatov ve'enam. Our forefathers, our fathers sinned and they are no longer v'anachnu avoreseinu avoreseihem sovon, and we are suffering the bitterness of their sins. We're going to look at one pasuk, or actually two pasukim in the section in focus. One is the first pasuk of this section, which is Zachor Hashem me hayolanu. Hashem, remember what was to us. Habitu re'eh es cherpasenu. Please see our embarrassment. The Al-Sheikh points out two very fascinating things in this pasuk. Number one is, you can't compare the experience of a poor man who's lived their entire life in poverty as opposed to a rich person who came upon hard times and is now begging on the streets. Hashem Yirachem. What Bnei Israel are saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we knew what it was like to have a white glove treatment. We knew what it was like to live under your auspices to have success. That indicates how terrible the suffering truly is. But if you look carefully into the pasuk, the Ma'al Sheikh points out one extra point, and that is if you actually look at the text of the pasuk of Aleph in the fifth perek, it's the word habita is actually lacking a hay. It's called a kri or a ksiv, an aksiv. It's written with a hay bays yud tes, but it's read habita, which means that it's missing that hay for the pronunciation. The Ma'al Sheikh HaKadosh explains that as the Gemara tells us in Menachos, that there are the two dimensions of this world are created with an aleph and a hey, a yud and a hey. The world to come is yud, and this world is hey. And what this pasuk seems to be saying is, in order to understand what's really going on in this world, we can't be looking at it from a this worldly perspective. To understand the cruelty, the injustice, the suffering that's gone on, and we need to look at it with habit, or habita, without that hey, without this worldly perspective, in order to truly understand what is going on. Another pasuk can focus in our section here is pasuk Zion, which is very troublesome indeed. Avoseinu chatu ve'enom, v'anachnu avonoseihem savolnu. Our parents have sinned and are no longer, and we bear their sins. So the Al-Sheikh does suggest, and the other Mephoshim do suggest, that there's a certain element of continuation, that a parent does, let's say a parent does not sin terribly, lived a terrible life, then died prematurely before they got to suffer all the repercussions of their actions. Some of that can be inherited by their children, which is terrifying. The way the Gemara understands this is that it's only true if the children continue and make choices, not just inherited culture, but they make choices to continue their lifestyle, then it becomes compounded. Whereas the Midrash Rabbah actually adds in and says that there's a give and take here. This is the claim of Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response really is, Elo atun b'darkun kayimim, which means you continue to go in their ways. And that's what the Hashem's response is. Perhaps we'll see where the Midrash gets us in the next section. This leads us to section 2, Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Ches, our second section in this parak. And this section, it describes what it's like to live under servitude. This is not just simply subjugation on a foreign land. This is the so to speak ripe of coming out of destruction. There's a description about the rape, the dishonor, the hard labor which Bnei Israel are subjugated to. And there's no longer the elders at the gate, the youngsters who are celebrating, the happiness of our hearts is absent. We lose our crown, Nafla Ateres Roshenu. Terrible things. Shavas Mesois, where Libeinu, the happiness of our heart is gone. And now the author describes the pain he feels of the fact that Israel has sinned. So he stretches himself. He says, woe to us because we have sinned. So it's no longer just the suffering he's experiencing, it's the actions that he feels bad about. And he goes on to say, at the end of the section, Al Har Tzion Sheshomem Shualim Hilchubai, talking about how the Mount Zion now has foxes, has been desecrated, foxes walking across it. What is the author seems to be doing, Yirmiyahu seems to be doing, is expanding his consciousness, not to just be reflecting on the immediate pain, but also actually the whole experience here of the grander experience, sin, and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which is perhaps the way that leads to the last part of the Megillah, which is the idea of resolution. That resolution can only happen when we look bigger than ourselves rather than the pain that we were simply experiencing. Just to focus on one pasuk in the section, pasuk Yud Tezayin, the 16th pasuk, Nafla Ateres Roshenu Oyna Alonu Ki Chatanu, the crown of our head has fallen, woe to us because we sinned. What does this refer to? So on a most basic level, the Nachal Eshkol, the Al Sheikh explains, this refers to the Beis HaMikdash, which would provide us the ability to be able to bring korbanos and remove or sins, let's say even by mistake sins. So let's say a person doesn't care about things so much and then they make mistakes, they would bring a korban. By bringing a korban, they would rectify it and the person would be more consciously aware of their actions and the behavior patterns. But if the Beis HaMikdash is no longer here and there's no korbanos on a shoigeg, a person, if they don't catch themselves in the subconscious realm of making mistakes, then it's going to soon lead to making egregious mistakes purposefully. And that's what's really what's happening. That's what the Beis HaMikdash represented to a certain degree. The Midrash Rabbah, though, explains that it's a little more, that it's just a very finite expression of this based on the Yerushalmi. And that is that they had a gzeira ala tarois chasanim, a special headdress that needed to be modified for a young man going into to the chuppah, that he'd do this to remember the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. So he would look different, even at his chuppah, which is somewhat related to the minhag we have today, which is putting ashes on the Rosh HaChasan. You put the ashes on the forehead of the chasan before he goes to the chuppah is a part of this notion of Nafla Ateres Roshenu, that our crown has been taken from us, which is Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. Finally, the last psukim, these are really the last four psukim of the perek, is now the prayer for return. It's recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, Atah Hashem Lo'olam Teshev, you're always going to be there. How can you forget us? Why do you forget us for all eternity? Please bring us back. And the last pasuk is, even if you discussed it with us, but you've been so angry. It's been so much. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't take it anymore. The pasuk in focus is the penultimate pasuk, the second last pasuk, which is read in shul, allowed twice to end off on a positive note. Hashivenu Hashem Alecha. Bring us back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we will return Chadesh Yameinu Kekerem, and bring our days back like the days of yore. The Shev Shmaitzer, in his seventh introduction, says a very, very powerful idea. He says, why is it that out of all the sins in the world, the first sin which is created by humankind, which is the sin of Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never really allowed them to do full teshuva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never let Adam Rishon return to the pre-chet situation. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to live, but he sent them out and he decreed death upon humanity, which is till today has haunted us. Why is that? So he explains that the spiritual mechanics are that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested into a physical being, a beast, a divine soul. When that human being made a bad decision, the only decision they really had to make, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately removed that level of loftiness, that a divine spirit from them to a certain degree. When Adam HaRishon did teshuva, what he did was he allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu the ability, so to speak, through the teshuva process. Hashem doesn't need the ability or the license, but Adam HaRishon catalyzed the return of the neshama to himself. But essentially, by doing such, he was in a certain sense reinventing himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen to play by the rules of this world, which is that if a person does teshuva, he can fix things. But this was essentially the return of the neshama to the human being was a human function because the human did teshuva to allow that. But any human creation is finite, which is why the neshama would only return to the body on a more temporary basis, just for a lifetime, a short lifetime, a very temporary lifetime, because it wasn't the same way that the neshama was invested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to. Here is because Hashem was responding to the tshuva of a human being, which reinvested, which is why it was temporary. Which is why, says the Shev Shmaitz, in this pasuk, we say, Hashiven Hashem Elecho v'noshuva, Hashem, please allow us to come back. Chadei Shomenu Kekedem. Bring our days back to the days of yore. This doesn't mean to say yesterday, it doesn't mean to say the times of the Beis Hamikdash. It means before Gan Eden Mikedem. Allow us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you invest the neshama back into us, so there should no longer be death. That we should really be at that stage, at that incredible apex of creation, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you for infinity return the neshama to us. That's what's being asked here. And just to end on a very powerful note, the Midrash in Eicha Rabba over here says in this pasuk that there's actually a stira in pasukim. There's a contradiction. One pasuk, which is our pasuk, says Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'Noshuva, Hashem, bring us back and we will return, which indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's initiating this. He should be the one to bring us back. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded and says, Shalachem hu, it's your job. Because the pasuk in Malachi says, Shuvu elai v'ashuva aleichem, you return to me and I will return to you. Meaning to say, in the end of the day, it's your responsibility, Knesset Yisrael. In the end of the day, it goes again. They say to him, "Ashuva elokei yishenu." We say, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please, you return us." So there's this debate: who's supposed to take the first step in this tshuva process? And that's how the Midrash ends. Fascinatingly, the Chassidim have a notion that in this machlokes we apply the fascinating rule of Yachid v'Rabim Halacha k'Rabim. When you have a debate, you follow the majority, and here the majority is Knesset Yisrael. So to speak, in a very special way, even the rules of justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which really should be true, in this case, his other rule of Yachid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim, might have to supersede that and allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to us and help us make the first step, because sometimes we're so far, we're so distant, we can't even make that first step as well. Avram Fried actually has a very beautiful song called Yachid v'Rabim, based on this playoff of this Hasidic understanding of this Medrash. And we hope and we pray that as we say that pasuk, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho v'Noshuva, not only do we get to do teshuva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us find the way to do teshuva as well, because that's how backward we are. Shenizkeh. In the meantime, this closes the book of Eicha. Thank you very much for following. Have a wonderful, meaningful day.